Thank you, Janet. And thank you, Mike and Blake. You sort of set up what I hope to convey right now. They were terrific. On behalf of the class of 1961, greetings to President Casey, faculty and administration, fellow reuniting alums, and a special loving welcome to Dr. John Wittig. In September of 1957, we began our four-year DePauw adventure thanks to this very special director of admissions who called us each by name for the next 4 years whenever we saw him. Dr. Wittig, you will be our honored guest for dinner tonight, and we all look forward to that. 50 years, wow. Wow. I am so deeply honored to represent the class of 1961 and to highlight the swift passage of those years. Has much changed during that time? A lot, you betcha. This anecdote was sent to me by a friend. My grandson asked the other day, "What was your favorite fast food when you were growing up?" We didn't have fast food when I was growing up, I informed him. All the food was slow. Come on, seriously, where did you eat? It was a place called At Home, I explained. Mom cooked every day, and when Dad got home from work, we sat down together at the dining room table, and if I didn't like what she put on my plate, I was allowed to sit there until I did like it. I didn't tell him the part about how I had to have permission to leave the table. Some other ancient memories: candy cigarettes, coffee shops and diners with tableside jukeboxes, party lines on the telephone, newsreels before the movie, TV test patterns that came on at night after the last show and were there until the TV shows started again this in the morning. It's howdy doody time. 45 RPM records, S&H green stamps, hi-fis, metal ice trays with levers, mimeograph paper, roller skate keys, using hand signals for cars without turn signals, drive-ins, wash tub ringers, and a pop bottle with a stopper that had holes in it that sat on Mom's ironing board. Classmates, travel back with me now to June 4th, 1961, when we marched cap and gown from Bowman Gymnasium to Blackstock Stadium, and we received our diplomas. Dr. Thomas Hale Hamilton, president of the State University of New York, gave the commencement address. Then off we went on our individual journeys, bringing us back together today on this celebratory occasion. What do we remember of those well-spent DePauw 4 years? Well, in the past few days, recollections have been rampant and fun. Yes, we remember our wonderful professors and a lot of studying. We actually had study dates, and I'm not sure whether kids even have dates anymore. We had Coke dates, coffee dates, chapel dates, house dance dates, church and movie dates. And on Sundays, it was to the double-decker. There were boulder runs, beanie burning, paddle and kiss-ins, bell ringing, blanket parties, ours. The Von Castle, the Duck and the Hub, still here, but in different locations, and Moore's, still here, same old. We watched As the World Turns after lunch, and we played bridge before dinner. We loved After Hours, Serenades, The Sandy Man, The Camaraderie, and all of this was crammed in between a lot of hours of the aforementioned studying. We lived in a very busy bubble, though we're aware when Sputnik was launched and the arrival of the Beatles. We were of age to vote in our very first presidential election in 1960 while at DePauw. The next 50 years were filled with an abundance of historic events. Here are a few highlights, and perhaps you can remember where you were at the time. On November 22, 1963, President John F. Kennedy was assassinated. Bob and I were painting our living room in our first little house with baby Matt in his bouncy chair. Of course, we'll never forget that day. There was an escalation of the war in Vietnam begun in 1964, and it did not end until the mid-1970s. The first Super Bowl was 1967. Same year, Dr. Christian Barnard performed the first human heart transplant in Cape Town. In July of 1969, Neil Armstrong walked on the moon. It happened to be the same day we brought adopted daughter Jill home to our house. We remember that day too. In 1973, there was a worldwide energy crisis precipitated by the rise in oil prices. President Nixon resigned in 1974 in the face of impeachment. In 1977, Elvis Presley died. In 1978, the first test tube baby was born in England, and Margaret Thatcher was elected Prime Minister of Great Britain in 1979. Then in the 80s, the AIDS virus was discovered in 1984. President Reagan announced the first $1 trillion budget in 1987, and we thought that was big. In 1989, Tiananmen Square protests were held in Peking, now Beijing. Same year, the Exxon Valdez spilled 11 million gallons of oil in Alaska. In 1989, the Berlin Wall came down, beginning of the end of the Cold War. And in the 90s, the World Wide Web started up for home use in 1992. In 1994, the World Trade Center in New York City was bombed by terrorists. Princess Diana was killed in a terrible accident in 1997. And in 1998, Michael Jordan retired from the NBA, and Mark McGwire set a home run record with 70 home runs. We come to the first decade of the 21st century. And what really defined the world as we live in today happened on September 11th, 2001. On that day, our son Matt, then a 38-year-old banker, was two blocks away from the World Trade Center. We're so grateful he made it home safely. DPU student life today is still vibrant and alive. Today, guys wear shorts and backwards baseball caps to class instead of khakis or cords, while the girls prefer warm-ups, jeans, or shorts. We wore skirts, of course, and little white collars with our sweaters. Today, students live in a wide variety of living units and are actively engaged in many types of community service, various boards, and athletics. Their extensive volunteer efforts give them the opportunity to experience the rewards of giving back, and they are developing values and leadership skills to carry them beyond graduation. The Green Center, where we are right now, is home to the burgeoning music school and performing arts. Division III athletics provide excitement, even championships, for an enthusiastic, supportive student body. DePauw will be a part of the North Coast Atlantic Conference starting this fall, again playing Midwestern schools just like 50 years ago. Without hours and with cars, there are no more serenades. But today's students have to study sometime. Their future grad school or job depends on the results, just like 50 years ago. During our time of matriculation, very few had cars. The week of our freshman orientation, we walked to the president's home for tea with President and Mrs. Humbert, dressed in our Sunday best, white gloves and all. On Wednesday night, we were again treated to a visit in this beautiful historic home as President Casey greeted us with a cocktail buffet and we were dressy casual. We drove, of course. But we've all enjoyed walking this beautiful campus, awed by magnificent new and renovated buildings and the wonder of the nature park. And we smile to know that campus renovation plans call for getting rid of all the centralized parking spaces. These kids are going to walk again, just like we did. While at DePauw, we came to school in September and stayed till June with finals after Christmas break. Ugh. Since 1971, students have gone home for the holidays after finals. Then they have winter term, starting classes again in February. What an opportunity winter term is. A great chance for a service project abroad or internship relative to one's major. Students now begin in August and finish mid-May. Over the years, diversity has broadly expanded at DePauw. Today, we have students from 44 countries, and an international experience is available for all. Since 1986, the world has come to our campus, courtesy of the Ubbin Lecture Series. Notable speakers brought by the Ubbins include Margaret Thatcher, David McCullough, Tony Blair, Jesse Jackson, Colin Powell, Mikhail Gorbachev, Karl Rove, and Howard Dean in tandem. With these options and the advance of technology, today's students certainly aren't living in a bubble. Graduation requirements have remained mostly the same since we were here, and then Dr. Casey came to town. Based on the results of a committee uniting faculty, administration, and students, an historic accomplishment in itself, next year's graduating class will have met new and different requirements, challenging and adequately addressing the world we live in today. Today's graduate heads into worldwide competition, whether going to grad school or getting a job. Women of the class of 1961 predominantly became teachers and nurses, for which there is an even more urgent need today. Alas, during our 50-year journey, women have broken the glass ceiling, and there is no stopping us. DePauw is preparing both men and women to meet today's postgraduate world. My college experience enriched the values I learned growing up, broadened my vision for the future, increased my desire to do well in all endeavors, and provided the framework for life-directing decisions. As our university begins its 175th year, its message to the world relates to each of us gathered here today. At DePauw University, intellectual challenge and a vibrant social experience combine to produce lifelong success. Here's to you, class of 1961. And here's to you, old DePauw. Thank you again, classmates, for allowing me to break the glass ceiling and be the first woman 50th reunion class speaker. We've come a long way these 50 years, and it is wonderful. It is joyous to be together again celebrating this journey. Thank you.